Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, how y'all doing out there? You're on the line with Sheila.
And I'm so excited for you all to be with us tonight. Appreciate everyone calling in and listening as we talk about if you have what it takes to be S-A-S-Y.
And we're going to have Sister Elizabeth tell us what S-A-S-S-Y means.
Yes, I will. But first, I want to give thanks to Bishop Poole
yes.
for allowing us space and time to be with you all tonight. Bishop Poole is usually on Thursday night at 7 p.m. For Doctrine of Truth. And we just appreciate him as our bishop and our pastor, allowing him, you know, to let us use our gifts to fall on every Friday night. Now, what about discussing our different experiences as parents? And I thought that it was I thought it would be a live topic.
Yes.
But we were trying to come up with good. I'm not feeling too well tonight, so if I go in and out, I'm still here. I'm still with us, but, you know, I'm just not up to par, but I want to be with you all tonight to discuss what it means to be still parenting, still safe. It's the name S-A-S-S-Y, because I know a lot of times, you know, most of the time parenting, whether you're still parenting or not, you know, sometimes you can be tested and tried and, you know, still wanting to keep your salvation.
Yes.
So tonight, that's what we're going to talk
about. Being a single parent,
mm-hmm.
saved.
Mm-hmm.
And we were discussing it, and we know that there are a lot of single parents out there, whether you be female or male, because there are a lot of males that are raising their children now,
right.
that it's hard sometimes. You know, you have to be at sometimes the mom, the dad, the tutor, the disciplinarian, the person that, you know, lay down the law in the house. Then you go through those different, I know I went through those different segments of where I was saying, am I being too hard on my child? Am I not being too hard? When do I lay down the law, or when do I just let that one ride? I had to be everything wrapped up in one. Now, I consider myself to be a half single parent. It wasn't that his dad wasn't in his life. His dad was very active in his life, but his dad lived in another part of the United States because of work-related issues. So, but he was very active with calling and checking up on him and different things of that nature. But it's very different when you're that only parent and they're looking for you to feed them, clothe them, take them to football practice, jazz band practice, all of these different things that they like to do, and you don't really have that help. So that's why I say, you know, I'm half single parent because I did a lot of those things myself until I was recently married. But I do understand the struggle because it is a struggle. And I know I asked the Lord a couple of times, and I spoke to my elders to find out, what do you do when you're a single parent and you're just exhausted with life? You know, you're the breadwinner, you're the tutor and all those different things that we called out earlier. So how do you maintain your salvation when you just want to just forget it and say, hey, you know, I don't want to do this anymore? So that's kind of what we're going to discuss tonight.
And, you know, to start off, I guess we want to talk about what we want to touch on tonight. While you're still parenting, who you are.
Yeah.
You don't want to forget yourself. So we want to touch on how you still, you know, being a human, you are being a person. Because you are, and maintain your role as a parent, and doing all of that safe. Because the ultimate goal at the end of the day, when all is said and done, we still have to make it to heaven. Still have to go
yes.
to heaven. children or not, dogs, husband, wife, whatever it is, still have to get to heaven. And you don't want to lose yourself. So if you're a little bit of, you know, real hand, first-hand experience, I believe everything that we're going to speak about tonight, we have experienced it on our own.
Yeah.
It's not something to be read. It's not something to be on TV. We experienced it on our own. We've lived it. We may still be living it, depending on what we, you know, talk about. We may be right in the moment. But we want a real and open and live discussion, and we want you to ask your questions, you know, get with us tonight, share your comments, share your experience, because this is a topic that, as there will always be children being born,
uh-huh,
there will always be parents, single, married, or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So topic be relevant. We want to spark some conversation.
And the one thing I love about what she said was, you know, you still have to have that. You don't forget who you are. And for myself, I did. For years, I was wrapped up in being a mom and being a tutor and being a disciplinary and being all of these different things that I forgot who Sheila was until I had to step back and say, you know what, God, I'm just, I believe when you forget who you are, you're just going through the motions of life and you're just doing what's comfortable or what's convenient for right then. You're not saying, okay, well, you know what, I need a spa day. I need to take some time for me. I need to, you know, let me reach out to my brother or sister to see if they can watch my child or different things of that nature so that I can remember who I am. I can still be, you know, who God has created me to be. And whatever that is, I'm still, you know, giving God the glory because now I have time to fellowship with God. I have time to commune with God, because a lot of times I think as parents, we get wrapped up in all the different things that we're trying to, as single parents, we get wrapped up in all the different things that we're trying to do and advance our children, because I know for me, I don't want my son to be a single parent or have a child out of wedlock. I want him to be very much married and happy when he decides to bear children and bring them into this world. But I did him that I just totally forgot who I was. And I really had to take that time to step back and look at myself and say, okay, let me revamp this so that I can be a good mother and also be the best Shaquila that I possibly can.
And I'm so glad you touched on that, because there's a chapter in my book that I'm writing called Middle of It. And I was thinking about when my daughter was born, and, you know, somewhere around when she was two or three, I started to be in a relationship, you know, a girlfriend, aspiring to be a wife. I was, you know, a co-worker. I was a breadwinner. You know, I was trying to go to school with a lot of things, and I was in the middle of everything. Nobody, I was taking care of everything and everyone and not myself. And I completely lost myself.
Wow.
And, you know, it's very real. It's not, you know, people just don't, it's not something you say. I mean, I was so wrapped up, as Sheila was saying, advancing my child and making sure she had food, clothes, shelter, you know, forms, toys, all of this stuff. And at the same time, I was, you know, trying to build a life or start a life with this young man, and wound up being his trash can. Ultimately, you know, he put all of his emotional baggage and all of his, you know, on me, and I allowed that. And then when it came down to me needing someone to decompress on or that, there was no one there for me. So I discussed that in detail in my book. And you know, the way that I came out of that, far gone in life, so far gone trying to, you know, make sure you're covering every avenue as a single parent, that you just lose sight of yourself. And in some cases, you can get depression. It can cause you to be depressed.
Yes.
It can cause you to, you know, physically stop eating. You know, it can cause you to be an unhappy person. Feel like you're just going through the motions. I know I woke up one day, and it was like, one. By the time I got home, I cried. I mean, I seriously cried because I felt like all of my life was get up, take care of my daughter, make sure she ate, get her home from school, feed her, go to sleep, and do it the next day. Wow. I had no life.
Yeah.
So you have to, it was in that moment that you have to cry out. I had to cry out to God and say, hey, you have to help me. You got to help me because I don't want this to be my existence.
And that's so true. I think for me, the question was, and still is, because I know for me it was only the grace of God that I came out. And mm-hmm. I was able to, tequila, or a form of tequila right now. But the question at that time was, how do I come out?
Right.
What do I do? And this morning I was listening to this really good teacher, and he was teaching on different marketing skills and how to advance your business. But the one thing he said that was so key to me, he said, listen, the key to marketing and advancing yourself is finding someone that has been where you've been,
mm-hmm.
and they have overcome it, and just ask them what they did and mimic what they did. And I was like, wow, that was just so, you know, key to me, because I was saying, I never thought of it that way. Just mimic what someone else did. And I began to think back at our topic and what we were going to talk about tonight, and about, you know, being single and being a single parent and saved and all of that. You know, what did I do to overcome that? Because I know I am not where I used to be. Thank you, Jesus. And because I was depressed. I was one of those people, as you said, get up, go to work, take care of my child, come home. I mean, I got into that routine. That was very mm-hmm. routine for me.
Right.
And someone once told me that humans are a force of routine, meaning we get comfortable in routine. And I was trying to think, what did I do to overcome, so that we can help our listeners to understand this is what we did, and we're not saying that this is the law and right. you have to do this to right. overcome, but right. this is just an example
right.
of what could happen if you do decide that you want to overcome this obstacle. And what I did was, I remember I called my son's grandmother. She was very active in keeping him. I called her. I said, you know, Mom, can you keep my son for a little while I go and just release my brain? And she was like, yeah, I'll keep him. So I sent him over to her house for that weekend. And then that weekend, I decided that I was just going to pray, and I was just going to talk to God. And then when I get through praying and talking to God, I'm going out to eat with myself. I'm going to the movies with myself. I'm going to walk the beach with myself, because I need some me time. And also, I decided to do a time management schedule, where I sat down and mapped out when I was going to do what, when it was time for me to be a mama, when it was time for me to be an employee, whether it be doing praise and worship, whether it's working with the youth department, whether it's working with the women's department. I mapped out all of that. And then I said, what can I take off my plate that I can create me some me time? Because what I realized is that I was doing all of these other things for everyone else, and trying to help people make their business successful, and trying to help my boss look good, and all of these different things, that I was just forgetting about spend time with myself. What do I want to do? How do I want to advance? And then I started realizing that I had dreams and goals that I wanted in my life. I wanted to own a promotion company. I wanted to do seminars and teach people about, you know, advancing themselves and nonprofits and different things of that nature. And in that weekend, I was able to get me, as well as come up with a strategy or a plan for the rest of, you know, for my short-term goal,
right.
making sure that I had a plan moving forward and I did not fall back in that routine. So for me, the key was finding a good babysitter mm-hmm. for my child for a weekend. And some people, it might take you a little longer. Some people might need a day or whatever it may be. And after that, I spent a lot of time with just me and God, me talking to God, me opening up my heart to him, because I wanted him to understand this is who I am. I'm not perfect, but I'm striving to be whatever it is that you want me to be, God. So I talked to God a lot, and then after that, I went out on a date with myself. I just fellowshiped with myself. I walked the beach. I went to the movies. I went and ate by myself. And then I came up with a time management schedule mm-hmm. that helped me move forward in my life. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes I get off track with that time management schedule. But it's there, and it is helping me, because there are times now I've taken on a new role of being a mother, two new roles, being a mother and an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
that I have to factor into that time on my time management schedule. And I got my time management schedule on the back of my bedroom door. So when I get up in the morning, I know what I'm doing, where I'm going. My husband know what I'm doing, where I'm going. My child know what I'm doing, where I'm going. And, you know, I try to adhere to it, but I'm not perfect. So, you know, those are some of the things that I did to overcome those obstacles of falling into that pit of just being a parent and just being single and just being existing through life.
And I feel that point about taking time for yourself, time to be with yourself, clearing your mind. I recall there was a full year that I did not listen to the radio.
Oh, wow. A whole year? You like
it? I sure do, but I did not listen to the radio because I needed that time in the car to decompress. You know, in the morning when I woke up, I drove my daughter to daycare, and that time between dropping her off at daycare and ending up at work, I just took that time. You know, I didn't take that time to think about anything. I didn't take that time to, you know, say, this is what I got to do today. I didn't make any lists. I just let my mind relax because I knew that I had to, you know, go to work, do the work thing, and then go home and do the mother thing. So I didn't even realize it was a year until I looked up one day and was like, I haven't listened to the radio in a year, because it started off, I was just going to do it for a week. See how that worked. Then I realized I didn't mind being in the car with myself and deepen my prayer life, my relationship with Christ, because it allowed me to be with myself. I didn't have, you know, somebody else talking to me about something. I wasn't listening to the radio, getting fed all of that stuff from the media.
Yeah.
It was just my mind was clear, and I was able to be open, and I was able to hear God, to talk to God. So now, my favorite place is the car. You know, people say, you know, get in your closet, you know, literal sense, might be in their house or, you know, that place of worship. But my place, it's in the car. it really is. For me to gain myself back. Another thing that I did is that, you know, I really decided that being a quote-unquote single parent was not going to define who I was.
Oh, that's the third one.
That's not Elizabeth. You know, when they said, well, who are you? The first thing out my mouth used to be, I'm a single parent, blah, blah, blah. But now when they say, oh, okay, Elizabeth, what do you do? Who are you? I said, okay, well, you know, I am such and such. Maybe at the end of the conversation, oh, I'm a single parent, or oh, I have a child. Like, you know, I want to hide it, but because that's not the definition of me. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in that stereotype, you know, that title of single parent, that's who you are. But no, I love to sing. I write songs. I write a book. I have a degree. I mean, you know, I'm more than just that circumstance. And the last thing that I did that happened that really changed my life, that I allowed God to have over my life. You know, we're so used to having control and doing it, because, you know, we're parenting on our own,
yeah.
So we have to, you know watch the budget, do this. So I'm used to having that control. I'm always used to having that control, but to allow God to have that control over my life,
Jesus.
To take away whatever relationship or whatever toxic toxicness that was in my life in order for me to become the person that I am now. That relationship with that young man was not for me. It was toxic. It was consuming who I was. So, you know, hey, it had to be removed. It hurt. You know, I picked up the pieces, but I live on, and I know that just as sure as my sister, who married my brother, found her, then that guy has found my husband away from me. And all I have to do is make myself available. So, you know, it's a state of mind. You know, a lot of that is dealt with my mind. And that's why the word tells us to renew our mind. And,
I know when I went on my weekend hiatus, I love what you did for a whole year, not listening to the radio. Boy, I have to have me some music on time.
I feel like that.
And that's really good that we all know our strengths. But I think in my two-day hiatus from just being a parent, one of the realizations that I came to is that I really didn't know as a single parent what God expected of me. And I remember asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? Because not only have I done something against your will by having this child out of wedlock, I asked the Lord to forgive me for that. And I believe with all my heart that he forgave me for it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm here and I am a parent. And I'm a single parent because this dad isn't in the state of Florida with me. And I can't call him and drop him off to his dad or say, hey, you know, I'm coming to send him to you for a second or a moment in time so that I can get a break. Now it's just me and him. What do you expect of me? What is it that you want me to do with this child? Because I know in the word of God it says everything works together for the good of them that love the Lord. And I was like, God, this has got to work together for your good. Regardless of what I did or how it came out, this has got to work together for my good. So tell me what you do. And because I remember trying to do everything. I remember trying to be a football coach. And anybody know me? I ain't no good football coach. I can't even throw a football. I remember trying to be a good music teacher. I remember getting on YouTube with him. He's a science teacher, math teacher, all of these different things. And the Lord was saying, he reminded me of the scripture, train up a child in the way that they should go.
Yeah.
That's what I expected. I expect you to take this young man and to train him up. Teach him honesty. Teach him love. Teach him how to walk with respect. Teach him how to have a good name. And it was so hard for me because I have a boy. It wasn't like it was two girls in the house. It was me and a boy. And, you know, people started saying, a woman can't raise no boy. A woman can't raise no boy. And I was like, God, now I hear all these people saying a woman can't raise no boy. And God, I can't do this. Oh, my God, I need a man. And the Lord said, I am your strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am your healer. Don't worry about all of that. Yeah, I understand that you messed up, you got your son, and now you're a single parent, and all of these different things. Look, I got you. Just do what I tell you to do. And I was like, okay, Lord, you know, and I started running down. What do I know how to do? I know how to pray. From birth, I taught my son how to pray. So he knew how to pray.
Right.
He knew the order of pray, how to pray. He knew when you get up in the morning, you got to say a prayer, and then knew when. Taking a test, you about to pray. Just pray all the time. Prayer without ceasing. I taught him.
You better pray.
I taught him it's good to know the word of God. So I would say scriptures to him when he was younger, and he couldn't properly read the season of the house and all of that stuff like that. And I would say scriptures to him and tell him to repeat it back to me. And then when he got in trouble, I would tell him. I would quote the scriptures to him.
Mm.
I would try to teach him how to do good business.
Yeah.
So, and with that, one day I decided that he wanted some shoes or something. I think it was like some Jordans or something. And he was probably about 7 or 8 years old. And I said, well, if you want it, you're going to have to work for it. So he got a, I told him, I said, I'll invest in you and buy you all the different things that you want for a show house. And he got a storehouse.
Okay.
And my son was price gouging. Every time. But that opened the door for me to tell him that you have to be consistent.
Right.
You have to be honest.
Yes.
No one's gonna keep coming back to your storehouse.
No, they're not.
if every time they come the price go up 5 cents. And in his head, it was purposely good math.
Right.
If I charge them more when they come back again, I'm going to get more money so that I can buy my joy.
Hey.
It opened up a door for me to teach him. And believe it or not, I'm so honored now because I have had a lot of trouble with my son and behavior problems. But today I spoke to his dad, and he's been in Chicago for a year. I spoke to his dad, and his dad was like, you know, Shaquilla, something happened at camp with somebody of another ethnic background called him a racial slur.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that the counselors came to him personally and was saying, you know, he kept cool. He didn't get irate. He didn't, you know, just fly off the handle. He kept cool, and he maintained himself. And he was saying that the counselor told him, you raised him so well. You did an excellent tell you what happened at camp, but also to let you know that they said that, you know, we did an excellent job raising him. And I was saying, you know, God, I thank you for that, because if the Lord had not spoken to me, if I had not taken that time out with God, I probably still would have taught him how to pray. I probably still would have taught him certain things, but I would have been so timid at it. I would not have made a valid issue that you learn these things so that when you go out into the hedges and highways and the enemy come in like a flood, you can still stand because you know who you are. And I was just appreciative of that. So my thing was knowing what God wanted from me. How does he want me to train this child?
Well, I'm so glad. You know, I feel like I need to send my daughter over to Eli. Because that was not my prayer at all. Okay? I mean, you know, to be real about it, I was, you know, having waiting to exhale moments, and, you know, early on, I'm being so told my child's father that I was pregnant, and it was like at noon, okay, on a weekday, and I was at work, and by 4 o'clock when I got off, I could no longer find him, and where we lived at was not big. The city wasn't big.
Oh, wow.
Where we lived at. So, I did. I waited to exhale. I waited, you know, it was about 3 months. I was like, I had a good full belly. When I showed up at one day on the door, he answered. He was down the street. He gave us the key. Now, why didn't we break it up? Okay, let's get that right. Okay. He gave us the key, but we had permission to go in the house. But what happened was that, you know, hey, it was just the emotion of knowing that I was carrying this child, and he did not want to be a part of that. So, you know, hey, you know, and it's the best thing. I know
that
But so I said, that's why, you know, I'm glad Sheila is here. I am. Because, you know, she thought how to pray. Hey, I'm glad for that. Because my daughter can go to her Aunt Sheila and learn some things that when I went to God and I prayed, you know, it was more so like, God, you got to help me. You got to help me be a better person so that I can raise this young woman. Okay? My sister is raising a young man. I have to raise this young woman to know her worth.
Yep.
And how is it that I am trying to teach her worth that I don't even know my own? So my prayer was, Lord, you got to help me new, change my life, so that I can show her what it means to be saved, young, pretty young and Christian. We talk about
PYC. Yes.
PYC. And she can know her worth so that when she gets older and I have to send off to school, Lord knows she's going to go out to college. Jesus. That when she gets approached by these young men, she knows what not to do and what to do and those how to handle herself and to carry herself through life and not forget about God and not forget about all the teaching, you know. And as raising a young woman, when the father is not readily available, and while he, you know, is in her life on the summer, he's not there all the time. And so I had to be sure, and I had to have a conversation with her dad to let him know, hey, you will be the first man who may tell her that he loves her.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You're going to show her that love. You're going to be the first man in her life that'll probably tell her that you're pretty beautiful. You know, you're going to do that, and she's going to use that. Her dad is going to, it's just going to give her a blueprint, whether good or bad, on, you know, what her future relationships may or may not look like. So I needed him to know if he was going to be there for her, he had to be there
100%.
Mm-hmm. 150%. And I said it just like that, whatever it was. 150%. Going to have to be there. But, you know, and we've had some trying conversations, some disagreements, and I've had to maintain a lot of words that I was trying to say. I've had to cry a lot of tears because where he fell short, he didn't know that. And I had to, you know, clean it up for her. You know, when you're that primary parent, whether you're male or female, when you're that primary parent, you have to put on that strength.
You had to dig deep for that one.
You got to put on, no matter what's going on, as long as you have pride, you can get it. I know that sounds so cliche, and it sounds so simple, and really some days you don't feel that simple, but as long as you have God on your side, you can get through it. You might have to cry. You might have to, you know, get in your corner, talk to yourself.
Turn your face to the wall, child.
You might have to. The wall, the windows, the wall, and whatever you got to turn yourself to.
Did you say the
windows? Yes, I did. I surely did. Okay? because it's that real, you know, that's just how I feel, you know, as refined as we try to be, it's just that real.
Yeah.
The tears are just that real. I talk to God as if he's right here with me, as if he is my friend, as if he, you know, my, hey, God, you're my best. Here's what old dude said to me.
Somebody.
Hey, I'm being real about it.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm being real. Because, I mean, it's a real conversation we're having tonight. How do you parent and be safe? And what we say, S-A-S-S-Y, how do we do that?
Yes.
And for me, it's a lot to do with having that connection with Christ, having that conversation with him, getting in my word, finding those first scriptures so I can put that strength.
Amen.
And just knowing that, you know, I may cry today, but tomorrow.
Yes.
And so I'm not going to cry tomorrow. And even if I do cry tomorrow, it's going to be another day. Lord willing, I'm not going to cry fast. So, you know, we just have to be encouraged. I know for me, to be encouraged.
Amen. And not only being encouraged and staying encouraged and mold the mind of another creature.
Right.
And for me, I didn't always view parenting as a way that I can shape or mold the mind of an individual. It was just like, at first, I got to do what I got to do to get what I got to get.
So
get him to the next level.
Right.
And for me, at that point, when I was doing those different things, I realized that I was showing my son and all of these. My son was in karate. He was in football. He was in band. He was in all of these different activities because I'm like, I just want you to be better than what I was. Or
right.
I want you to leave a legacy for your children, stating that, you know, when you reach for the stars. And the Lord was letting me know at one time, Shaquilla, you know, that's good. You want them to be open to new things. You want them to know what it feels to skydive. Now, I might not never skydive, but I told my son, shoot for the stars. So you think you like it, you want to jump out of planes and stuff like that, as long as you stay. Yes, and pray without ceasing. Then you do it. But I wanted him to know that there was no limitations on what he can do in life. And the Lord was saying, you can do that without putting him in all of this stuff and running yourself ragged. You know, just sitting down having a simple conversation, save you all hours, hours of band practices and football practices and karate lessons and DJ lessons. I mean, I was trying to put my son in everything. And I was just like, God, because I am a single parent, I want him to have those opportunities that a two-parent, a child that's in a two-parent home has. And the Lord was saying, listen, teach them, train them, give them the tools, listen to them, invite them in. I remember a lot of people at first, they didn't understand it. When I decided to get married, I had a conversation with my son. It was like, hey, you know, because I'm not, my husband wants to just pray. No, he is
I
not.
I can say it. I mean,
he is not. No, he's not.
He's meant to. But we love him.
You can listen to him Monday through Friday on Bop Top Radio from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Yes. Happy Pool the Third. But I had a conversation with my son, and I wanted him to understand that he was just as included in this marriage as I was. You know, my husband wasn't just marrying me. I wasn't just marrying my son, my husband. I was marrying his son, too. We were going to be engaged in life together. So I had conversations after conversations after conversations after conversations with him until when his daddy decided to get remarried, my son came to me and was like, you know, daddy never talked to me. And I was like, well, honey, not everybody's going to go down that road with discussing. I just wanted to discuss it with you. I just wanted you to know what my heart was, and I wanted to know where your heart was. And I think as parents, a lot of times, as single parents, we're so busy being mom, dad, teacher, school teacher, a worker, all of these different things that we forget that we have to sit out and have a real conversation with our children. As you and don't backtalk me or don't ask me. Just do what I tell you to do.
You know, that's so true. And I'm so glad she was on that point. She was talking about them being better and wanting our children to be so much more than what we had and, you know, what we did in our decision. You know, it took me, I was pregnant with my daughter at 22. And I should have been in my last year of college. Then finishing my degree. But, you know, I didn't call when I didn't finish it. She was 3 or 4. She might have been going on 5. She was 5. And I graduated from college. Now, the year before, it was a hard year. You know, I worked full-time during the day. I went to class full-time at night, and I thank God for my family. Because they watched over my daughter while I was at class at night. And then that last at night and went to school today, you know, they watched over her. But I recall walking across the stage when I graduated, and it was the weight of that moment for me still almost brings me to tears, because it was like my daughter saw me complete this past, you know, this big moment in life, and I was so glad that she did, because it allowed her to see that no matter what you've done, I didn't even really have to have a conversation with her about that, but she grabbed that. She was 4 or 5. So I'm so glad. I want to touch on that. And also, I want to touch on, you know, although I'm single now, I still pray every night for my husband. If you listen, I am here. But I pray every night. I pray for you every night. I talk to God, and, you know, we talk about sin and everything. And so, you know, I know that when he comes, I have to prepare myself, because my daughter and I
and make
we've been living in single. I've been single parenting 10 now. And we recently, not recently, it was a year or so ago, we got a dog.
And how did that go?
The dog lasted, or rather, we lasted for about 7 days. And I remember after the dog, you know, found him in the home, my daughter said, you know, Mom, we can't bring anybody in this house that can't fend for themselves. I said, you know, you about right. You about right, because we just so upset in our ways. I said, Lord, I can help him. But I said all of that. I said all of that to say that God, you know, he knows all. He sees all. And
yeah.
Having those conversations, that was a real statement from her. I mean, she was really, like, serious about that. Ain't nobody coming here.
No.
And so she and I had a real conversation. So you do have to talk to your children about, you know, just life and have real conversations because they are human. So we thank you all so much for calling in. I see we have a caller here who wants to talk to us. And if you do want to talk, you will go ahead and press 1 if you want to share your comments and your questions with us tonight. Let's see. We have a caller here on the line. Hello. Hello, caller. You're on with us.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are on
yes,
the air.
Yes, you on the air.
I'm on the radio.
Yes, what's your question or comment for us tonight?
Well, I don't have a question. I just have a comment. You know, it is your boy DJ Al calling in, telling you guys you're doing a wonderful job. I do apologize I didn't get a chance to get into the show earlier to know what sassy means, but I can understand where you guys are coming from and telling your story about things that you're going through your life. I just wanted to call and tell you to keep up the good work, and I just wanted to know if I was on the radio because I have a
yes,
plan.
Yes, you're on the radio.
I'm on the radio, okay.
Yes, thank
is this
you.
Is this that Epoo girl?
This is that Epoo girl, and this is what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. When we talked earlier, and I'm so glad that my sister had a conversation with her son about my brother because she loves him, and as y'all can see,
there's nothing wrong with my husband.
Yes, and
we have to laugh.
For those that just came in with us, we're talking about being a single parent and being saved, maintaining your salvation.
Because that's the most important thing. As you said at the beginning, that's the most important. Our salvation. Because at the end of the day, we have to go ahead. Yeah, I just can't keep going here. I don't know about
people, living out. Look,
I can't do that.
I can't do all this searching to go to hell.
I can't do all this praying.
He's on the mainland.
He is. And I've been holding in my waiting to exhale moment. If I'm doing that, I got to blast.
But, you know, one of my biggest questions, right, and I was very good. Because, see, Elizabeth told you she was a single parent at 23. Imagine being a 16-year-old
mm-hmm.
with a baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So that was me. That was my story. And you can say whatever you want to say, but I'm saved and sanctified.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
But I was very young when I had my son, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was disciplining them. Like, how you know, they think it as, you know, saved people, they say, you know, oh, y'all saved. You shouldn't be, you know, spanking your kids.
Yeah.
I don't think we're supposed to be, you know, I think we're supposed to spank
them.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Don't spare the rod.
Don't spare the rod. That's what the Bible says. Find when I should discipline him
mm-hmm.
and when I shouldn't, because I was mama and daddy.
Right.
So it's like if I beat him for everything, he will never talk to me.
Right.
Now if I be lenient on everything, then he gonna run over me.
Right.
So when do you feel like you have balanced that out? You've come to that common denominator when you say it's time to go in and lay that rod down, or it's time to set that rod?
It's my real answer, not a fake answer.
Okay.
But it's the real answer. Because I was going to go, when my daughter came along, I had to be soft.
Oh, the fight out then.
It didn't take the fight out me. It brought a little soft to fight. So when it came out to discipline, you know, it was a moment that I had to realize he wasn't a little boy. So So I really, you know, but I had to feel that, you know, fear in her. Right is right, wrong is wrong. You know, my mama thanked us.
Yeah.
I don't thank her for everything. Look. No, I got to look. And then, it, you know, if I need to jack you up, she has been jacked up. And that's the very real answer. But we're at the age now that we have a lot of conversation. My daughter, you know, if anybody knows her, those of us that know her, she's very smart.
Yeah.
And my daughter has been very, what do you call it? Very, very, very smart at a young age. So I can talk to her at a young age. She could understand what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have a lot of those moments, but we did have those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't beat her for everything. I thanked her, but at the same time, you know, I talked to her. So now that she's older, I don't know about you, but now that, you know, she's older, do you find that, you know, there's different disciplines?
Dealing with a 10-year-old, but I'm dealing with a 15.
Right. So yeah. What's going to be
on that? I think for me, I really had to pray to the Lord. The Lord had to open me up because when I was growing up, it wasn't like how these children. When I was 14, 15,
yeah.
Social media
wasn't,
you know, a lot. Now, before, you would need a computer, sit down at a computer to log in online, to do anything. I think MySpace had just started when I was his age and different things of that nature. Now that they got Kick and they got Twitter and they got all of these different things, I really had to pray to the Lord. I said, God, you said in your word that there is nothing new up under the sun. So, this is new to me, but it's not new to you. And I need for you to teach me how to communicate with my 15-year-old, keep him in line so that he does not get outraged. And one of the things that, and it had to be the Lord, told me, he was like, friend him on Facebook. If he's on Kick, you be on Kick. If he's on Instagram, you be on Instagram. Now, I'm not on Instagram, but my husband is on Instagram. Whatever it is that he has, you get it. You learn how to use those different tools. And when he needs to be disciplined and you feel like it's a time when you don't want to just beat him, then you take those things from it. I remember I would get on my son's Facebook page. I would get on his Twitter page. I would get on all of those different things. If he was saying, if he was talking to a girl, I'd be talking to the same girl. How you doing? Yes. What's your name?
This is Mama.
Yes, uh-huh. I'm the mama. How you doing, boo? And what I realized that did was it opened up to his friends. They'll be like, man, your mama's so cool. Your mama on Facebook with me or doing this or doing that.
I had to ride up to my daughter. My daughter knows. Sometimes, you know, school, we both had experiences at school. We don't play around with school.
Yeah.
Okay. We teach you. You're going to school to learn. My daughter wanted to show up at school one day. You know, I rode up on her. Sheila knows that.
Yeah.
I have written up at school. We come to elementary school. We're not even talking about middle school of 14, 15.
Yes, she did.
I will ride up to school. And if I have to leave work, I will ride up there. And hello. Yes, my name is. And where is my son? The first time I did that, she looked like the world had died.
But see, the thing is, I really want the callers to understand the impact this is.
Correct,
her
correct.
Daughter is in, where? Cairo, Georgia.
In Tallahassee.
In Tallahassee.
And I'm in Fort Lauderdale.
And she's in Fort Lauderdale.
And I took that 6.5-hour ride.
And popped up at the school.
And said, hello. And I was still saved. I kept my salvation.
Sometimes you just gotta show up.
So you can keep that salvation, but we hope. But that's what we're talking about tonight. You know, we share our experience with you about being single parents. You know, keeping that salvation because we want to make it to heaven. We want to train up our children so that they can make it to heaven with us. We just don't want to get that by ourselves. We want to train up our children so they can make it to heaven. Along with us. So
And let me tell y'all this. You want to get a break from your kids? Let me tell you where to take them at on Sunday. Take them to church and drop them off in the Sunday school class.
First of all, let's clarify drop off. Okay, Sunday school is from 10 to 11.
You drop them off from 9:45 to 10 to 11:30.
10 o'clock, you drop them off. 11 o'clock, you show up and pick them back up.
And it, make sure they come to Jesus Christ International Ministries.
Yes, and we're...
Where Sister Elizabeth will be teaching Sunday school for the young people. Drop your kids off.
You can drop them off. Okay. You can drop them off, and I'm going to give them to Jesus. And I'm going to be saved when I leave them. I don't know if your children, you know.
They're going to be saved, too.
I'm going to be
we
saved.
We know the word.
We are. And you can find us here in town at 2016 Northwest 26th Street. That is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where our Bishop Al G. Poole Jr. is our pastor.
Yes.
And he is on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
The Doctrine of Truth.
The Doctrine of Truth. You know, and he is on Facebook.
Yes.
We've been talking about Facebook tonight. He is on Facebook. So you can friend him on Facebook at Senior Bishop Poole. You can also friend us and like our page at Christ International Ministries. We are on Facebook as well. And we're having revival.
It's revival time.
Summer revival time. Starting this avenue in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We are so very glad that you came and listened with us tonight. And you go ahead and friend our page. We are on every third Friday night at 9 p.m. So friend us. You can stay in contact with us and know when we'll be here again. We will be here again.
Yes.
Say,
we love being here.
Uh-huh. Still single parenting. We're halfway to be married. But we'll be single parenting. Still say, you know, real conversation.
Yes.
Real point of view.
And don't forget to be a PYC. Pretty Young
Christian. That's right. Because
yeah,
even though we're young, you know, my sister had her child at 16 and I had mine at 22. Hey, y'all, we still doing it right. I think we are pretty.
Get it.
Pretty young. Although my birthday is next week, we're pretty young and Christian.
And mine right after that.
That's right.
Yes.
So join us again in a week and a half.
Yeah, birthday weekend time, too.
Oh, that's
yeah, so y'all gonna have to call in and wish us some happy birthday.
Yeah, some songs. Happy birthday. Maybe we'll do the birthday show.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do the birthday
show. PYC birthday show.
PYC birthday.
And don't forget to go to our Facebook page and let us know if you're a PYC.
Yeah, and let us know how you felt about the conversation. Give us a comment. You know, we're glad to hear from you. We're glad to know that you're out there and supporting us, just showing up for us. And Bishop Poole, he talks about the doctrine of truth. He talks the real word, okay? The real word. It's not totally, and it's not the word of truth.
Amen.
Don't forget to join him on Thursday night. Same number. You can call in at 7 p.m. So we're so glad again to have joined us tonight. We appreciate you calling us, and we hope and pray that you, you know, have got something out of it tonight. I know we laughed a little bit, but I hope that you did get something out of it tonight that you can take to heart. That Jesus is always, you know, he's never far. So,
amen. Amen. We're just going to leave this short time with a prayer. Father God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We ask that you continue to strengthen us as parents, as sisters, as wives, as children of the Most High God. We thank you for your love. God, we ask to touch the listeners, God, that they would take heed to your word, God, and hide it in their hearts that they won't sin against you, Father God. Oh, God, have your way in the nations, God. Touch children right now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. DJ Al is going to be on the air tomorrow from 10 a.m. to noon.